Yosef HaTzadik sends the message to Yaakov Avinu with the brothers that the Yashavta Eretz Goshen VaYisukol Ve'Loi. Yaakov Avinu should come and he'll live in Goshen and you'll be close to me. The kash is obvious that Yosef didn't reside in Eretz Goshen. If he wants Yaakov Avinu to be close, so you should invite him to move in next door. So the Ramban clearly without articulating the question. So the Ramban writes that Hoye Yosef Yodeh Be'oviv Shelo Yirtze La'amod Be'eretz Mitzrayim Asher Shom Habira La'malchus Al Ken Shalach Lo Me'ata. Yosef understood very well that Yaakov Avinu would not accept an invitation to come live in Mitzrayim, the capital city, and therefore he knew that the only possible invitation that would entice Yaakov was to come to Eretz Goshen. That's the closest he could arrange for Yaakov Avinu to live next to him. Clearly, the pshat is that the city, which is the capital of the Malchus, is where the culture and the values of the Malchus are most concentrated. In Parshas Achrimos, the Torah holds up Maasei Eretz Mitzrayim as an exemplar of Hashchosa. Mitzrayim were, among other things, Shtufe Zima. There was no way Yaakov Avinu was going to expose himself, expose his children, his grandchildren, to that culture, to become ensconced in that kind of surroundings. The concern for being influenced, the danger of assimilation, again echoes in what the Shiftei Kor tell Paro, Logo Bo'oretz Vonu, as we quote the Drashas Chazal in the Haggadah, that Lo Yodah V'senu L'Hishtakeh B'Mitzrayim, not to settle in Mitzrayim, but to be strangers there. So let's perhaps spend a few minutes reflecting a little bit on the parsha of assimilation, Rachman al-Islam. Ramchal writes in Mesil Sisharim that there's a reciprocity, that on the one hand, a person will act bizrizus when there's an inner hislahavus. The hislahavus will generate actions of zrizus. But on the other hand, it's also true that if a person will push himself, will force himself to act with zrizus, that will help generate and create and kindle the inner hislahavus. The influence is bilateral. It's a reciprocal influence. Zrizus comes from Hislahavus, but Zrizus also creates Hislahavus. The Emes says, the Yesod you find already in the Sefer HaChinuch. On the one hand, you have the oft-quoted klal of the Sefer Chinuch that Achre HaPu'ulos Nimshachem HaLevavos, which is the precursor to Ramchal's Zrizus creating his Lahavus. Meidach, you find the Sefer Chinuch writes on the Sharshe HaMitzvah of Lo Sechonem, of Lo Siten Lohem Chain, by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So the Sefer Chinuch writes, the fish at Tchilas Kol Maaseh B'nei Odom, he kviyas HaMachshava, V'ha'alos Hal Dvorim Al Sfas Hal Oshan, V'acha HaMachshava V'hadibur, Bo Te'osa Kol Malacha. So it begins with Machshava. And then Maisim are the follow in the wake of Machshava. So that's the Hashpah is in the opposite direction. Right here it's not Achrei HaPulos and Mshachos HaLevavos, it's Achrei HaLevavos Notzrim HaPulos. You find it in the Rambam as well. Mechad Gisa, the Rambam tells us in the beginning of Hilchos Deos that Ketzad Yagel Odom Atzma B'Deos Elu Atche Yikovel Bo Yase V'Yishne V'Yishalish B'Maisim She'osa Al Pi HaDeos Ha'm Tzoyos V'Yachzu B'Hem Tomir Atche Yu Maaseim Kalim Olov V'Lo Yiyye B'Hem Torach Olov V'Yikovel HaDeos B'Nafshem Achrei HaPu'ulos Nimshachem HaLevavos, that the way a person becomes Rachum V'Chanun is by pushing himself, even if he doesn't feel the inner Rachmanis and Chanina, to act and perform acts of Rachmanis and Chanina. Me'idach Gisa, at the end of Hilchos Deos, commenting on Los Sikom, so the Rambam writes, Kol Zman Shehu Noteres Hadova V'Zochro, Shema Yovel Linkom, V'Ficha Chikpida Torah Al HaNetira, Ad She Yimcha, Or Yimacha Ha'ovan Miliba V'Lo Yiskerenu Klal. So there the Hashba is in the opposite direction. This Yisod of the reciprocity that ideas, values, attitudes, thoughts beget maisim, but on the other hand, maisim beget ideas, values, and attitudes and thoughts. So zelu mazel asalukim, the same way it's true in the realm of tikkun amidos and tikkun maisim. So Rachman Litzlan, Hein l'tov, hein l'mutav. It's also true in the realm of kilkul, midos and maisim, because it's ultimately a principle of nefesh ha'odam. And accordingly, the process, Rachmana Litzlan, of assimilation can either follow Lahavdil Zrizus coming mitoch Islavus, or Rachmana Litzlan, it can unfold in the opposite direction of Hislahavus coming from Zrizus. So maybe let's try to understand that a little bit. Sometimes assimilation begins practically. The first generations of Jewish immigrants to these shores, so they succumbed to harsh realities and very great pressure. And they went to work, Rachmana Litzlan, on Shabbos. The assimilation began on a practical level. And that's already assimilation in its own right, but it doesn't stop there, because achrei ha'pu'ulos nimshachos ha'levavos, ultimately all values, belief, connection is eroded. But it's not just a matter of historical interest or record. It's very much a contemporary challenge as well. Less dramatic, but perhaps because it's less dramatic, also more deceptive, and because of that, very insidious. So you have someone who, because of pressures of work, it's hard for him to get up in the morning for minyan every morning. Or maybe at the other end of the day, it's hard for him because of pressures of work to get himself, after going home for dinner and some family time, to go to the Beis Medrash, to be mizdares, to go to the Beis Medrash and learn. And he taka succumbs to the Yetzer Hara. And one morning, he turns the alarm clock off and doesn't go to minyan. And instead, finds a place for himself in the Guinness World Book of Records at home with a 15-minute shachris, and then gets to work on time. Or one night, he's very tired, and he doesn't get to the Beis Medrash, doesn't go to the Beis Medrash, doesn't maintain the Kriyas Yitim. Again, it needs to be understood that this is already kisha la'atzmo in its own right, an element of assimilation. It's not only what it leads to, in its own right, there's already an element of assimilation there. But it also needs to be understood that it's not self-contained, because, again, this type of assimilation, which begins with the pu'ulos, and achrei ha'pu'ulos nimshachim ha'levavos, if one morning I don't get up and go to minyan, it's not just that I didn't go to minyan that morning, it's not just that practically I gave in, but it weakens the chashivos that tefillah b'tzibur has for me. And if one night I don't maintain the Seder, so it not only did I miss out those X hours of Talmud Torah, but it chips away and it erodes my commitment to Talmud Torah. Achrei ha'pu'ulos nimshachim ha'levavos. And that's why whatever we do, because the achrei ha'pu'ulos nimshachim ha'levavos, there's momentum is created by whatever we do or don't do. It can be positive momentum. It can be the opposite. And that's how, Rachmana Litzlan, the phenomenon that we see, you have someone who not that long ago, not that many years ago, one knew as a very strong, committed Ben Yeshiva Ben Torah, who Yitochen, for the right reasons, goes out to work, and then within a frighteningly short span of time is unrecognizable. He's a one-day-a-week show person with little, if any, meaningful Talmud Torah in his life. The commitment isn't there. It began with a practical practical concession? But the same way acting with zrizus creates islahavas, acting in a way that's consistent with rachmanus creates rachmanus, acting in a way that isn't machshiv tefillah b'tzibur lets that attitude strike root also. Acting in a way that isn't machshiv kviyas itim, rachman al-islam lets that attitude strike roots also. Another example, again, of how when we talk about the assimilation, which is begins more on the practical level, I'm told that this is a problem as well. I don't know it firsthand, but I'm told that this is a real problem as well. Medical personnel, be it doctors during their training and yitachin subsequently as well, be it Hatzalah members, so are put in a position where they're supposed to be Mechal Shabbos sometimes. But it has to be done. It has to be done. Again, we're not, obviously, neither am I the person, nor is this the forum for Psak Halacha. That's obviously not what we're talking about. But it's so easy not to do that with the achrayus and kovid rosh and precision that's required. Again, we're not talking about hesitating and learning through shin chav ches in Mishneh Berurah while someone's having a heart attack. Hold on, 1 minute. Just need Commissioner Buller. Be back soon. That's not what we're talking about. But the hospital routine, if a person is not in Shari Tzedek, if a person is not in Laniado, the hospital routine is not sensitive to what Chilul Shabbos is warranted and therefore mandated, and what Chilul Shabbos is unnecessary and therefore is Chilul Shabbos. And Rachmana Litzlan, again, the achrayus of being at full alert to exercise that and display that kovod rosh and achrayus if a person succumbs. So it begins Rachman al-Atzlan, and this is terrible enough Kshala Atzma. It doesn't have to lead to anything beyond it. It can begin with Chil Shabbos in the hospital, in the Hatzalah context. But it doesn't end there. Again, it's terrible enough. It's beyond terrible, even if it does end there. But the reality is that it doesn't end there. Because if acting with Zrizus creates Eslavos, then once taking the easier way out, and again, in the hospital, being Mechal Shabbos for something that isn't warranted, contributes to a mindset of Naseh Keheta. And it happens, Rachman al-Islam. This isn't intended to, again, the message here is not that people shouldn't be in Hatzalah. Hatzalah is such an extraordinary, extraordinary thing. Hein mitzad ha'atzalas nefasha shevel, hein mitzad ha'kiddush Hashem shevel. That's not the that's not the message, nor is it the message not to be a doctor. But the message is to recognize the nisoyon, which is inherent in either of those callings, because it's the same type of dynamic in terms of assimilation. It's not just the question of American Jewish history from 80 years ago. From 70, 80, and 90 years ago. The dynamic is still very much present and relevant, and one that we all need to contend with. How does one resist this type of assimilation? So the Bali Musa have avod. Chazal said that the tzaddikim, the Yetzirah resembles a har, so Mount Everest. And for Rishoim, it's Kechut HaSaira. So isn't it just the opposite? Rishoim can't deal with it. They can't overcome it. So for them, it's like scaling Mount Everest. Tzadikim are able to overcome. They're able to be Mezgabe. So for them, it's Kechut HaSaira. I must say, provide a very important insight. That when the Yetzirah challenges us, so tzaddikim recognize the magnitude of that challenge. They recognize that if I don't go to Minyan tomorrow morning, so it's not just one Minyan, that's enough, that's bad enough, that's important enough. But they recognize that it's not just one minion that I stand to lose, because they recognize how it instigates, how it sets in motion a process. So the Yetzirah is Mount Everest. The Yetzirah not to go to one night seder. The Yetzirah not to get up one morning after a difficult day in the office, not to go to minyan the next morning. So they recognize that Yetzirah is a very, very formidable Yetzirah. Rishon said, what's the big deal? One minyan. One minyan. I'll be more alert. I'll be more productive. I'll be more... It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. There's a second type of assimilation. And probably of the two, the more formidable challenge, because it's less tangible and less visible. And that's the type of assimilation which follows the hislahavus generates zrizus. The inner state translates into actions. The machshava, as the Sefer Chinuch explains in the context of Lo Sechonim, provides the impetus for Maisa. we're surrounded by a culture with values, with attitudes and attitudes which overwhelmingly are antithetical to the values and attitudes and mindset of the Torah. But by its very definition, American society is pluralistic. The tolerance that it advocates is a tolerance rooted in pluralism and relativism. And that's about as core a value of the democratic Western world as there is. Obviously not referring to Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, obviously not referring to that, not in any way downplaying or diminishing its significance. But we're not pluralistic, we're not relativistic. We think that's religiously and morally anarchistic. We believe in absolute truth. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah at Har Sinai, and this is absolute truth. And while we certainly have our version of tolerance, there's a major, major difference between a tolerance which issues forth from relativism as opposed to the type of tolerance attitudinally which the Torah would have us display. There's a difference between where one is just tolerant of Chilul Shabbos and Mechalel Shabbos, because one absorbs the Western version of tolerance, or where one thinks that Chilul Shabbos is an absolute travesty. Chilul Shabbos is one of the biggest tragedies and travesties of our world. But what a rachmanus it is that the overwhelming majority of Klal Yisrael are tinoko shenishbu, and because of that, rachmanu litzlan, they engage in Chilul Shabbos. There's a very big difference between those two versions of tolerance. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, when he first came to the United States, even when he had the yeshiva in, after the Milchama, when he established the yeshiva in Lakewood, he lived in Manhattan and he used to commute to Lakewood. And then one day he got up and moved to Lakewood. And when asked why he was moving. So he said that he noticed that he was beginning to be bothered a little bit less by the Chilul Shabbos that he saw in Manhattan. His sensitivity to just how terrible it is that the Chilul Shabbos was beginning to become dulled. So he had to go somewhere where there were no non-firm Jews and where he wouldn't encounter either any Chilul Shabbos or certainly less Chilul Shabbos. A tolerance which is just where we parrot Western tolerance. Erodes the chashivus of Shabbos, the chashivus of Torah, the absoluteness of Torah. A correct version of tolerance doesn't do that. When the person simultaneously feels the pain of Chilul Shabbos together with the pain of seeing a Tinok Shenishba who's being with Chilul Shabbos. There's a big difference between that and between, okay, so he's not firm. So I'm firm and he's not firm. And live and let live. That erodes the absoluteness of truth. The clarity of lema notzarnu, what life is about. The societies surrounding us, another core value that has developed, I don't know that this was true historically. It wasn't true historically. But by the year 2015, it has become the case. The society around us is an egalitarian society. That equality has to mean identical roles. And any discrimination between roles is translated as discrimination against. I mean, that wasn't a core value in 1776, but it very much is a core value in 2015. When such values seep in to our value system, when we absorb such values by osmosis, so it's the opposite process, Rachmana Litzlan, of assimilation. It's not the Achrei HaPu'ulos Nimshachem HaLevavos, but it's everything begins with Machshava, and Machshava begets Maisa. And here too, it's not only because Machshava begets Maisa that's why it's insidious. No, it's assimilation in and of itself. Because to be a Jew doesn't just mean to act as a Jew. It means to think like a Jew, to feel like a Jew, to have values like a Jew. So it's assimilation in its own right, but it's also worse than that. Because it's not self-contained, it's not compartmentalized. It's the dynamic which the Sefer Chinuch talks about in Los Sechonim. Kahena v'chahena, there's no shortage of of examples in terms of values and attitudes and axioms of society around us, which, again, on an axiological level, are antithetical to Torah, which represent axiological conceptual assimilation. Lamentable and frightening in its own right, but even more lamentable and even more frightening because it doesn't stop at that. And we see it tragically unfolding around us. So how does one, how do we try to inoculate ourselves against this? So the first thing is to be aware of it. Just to be aware of the stark axiological contrast between the culture that surrounds us and the Torah. To be aware of our susceptibility to absorbing those values. Because we're bombarded by them. It's in the air we breathe. And if we make the mistake of imbibing popular culture, so then it's in the newspapers we read, it's in the radio shows we listen to. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. So the first thing is to be aware. How do you not slip on the ice? The first thing is to be aware that ice is slippery. That's the first yisod. The second, and again, there's nothing especially insightful or profound in anything I'm saying. They're all dvarim pshutim. Is to try to be as intellectually honest, to learn, and very, very importantly, be mekabel as much Torah as possible. Not just learn on our own, but to be mekabel as much Torah as possible. If I only learn on my own, so I'm still at risk of what I learn being colored by what I've already absorbed from the surrounding culture. I have to be mekabel as much as possible. One's Dalet Amos should be the Dalet Amos of Torah. And it's also very important in counteracting and countering a Yetzer Hara. It's very important to cut the Yetzer Hara down to size, to recognize it for what it is. On the one hand, it should be kahar gadol in terms of its formidability and the magnitude of the challenge. But on the other hand, we should recognize the culture and society surrounding us for what it is. We live in an unprecedented, technologically advanced society, tremendously impressive. We live beyond the science fiction world. I don't think the most creative and imaginable science fiction writers could imagine the technological advances that we enjoy. But realistically. The society we live in is a backward and regressive society morally. if you compare where society is today to where it was, ask your grandparents to where it was 60 years ago. So the society is not more advanced. The society is disintegrating, morally disintegrating. We live in a backward and regressive moral society. There's no reason that we should feel defensive when our values are out of sync with the values of that society, which again, by and large, they are. And there's no reason that we should be so fascinated, so enchanted by the values which are articulated by a society which is regressive morally. To say that our society has no musug of tznius, it's light years beyond talking about that being the problem. It's by and large apathetic to those sinof. Never mind tznius. Increasingly apathetic to Los Yitzchak. And since it's religiously, epistemologically pluralistic, it's apathetic to Avodah Zarah also. So why should we have some kind of inferiority complex if we find that our values are not in sync with the values of this society, and why should there be any assumption that if the society is wrong about all these other things, why is there an assumption that the society is right about egalitarianism? And because of that, we feel defensive, Rahman al-Islam, and we feel inferior. There are discrete, disparate, positive elements, which from a lens of Torah and the Torah filter are of value and importance and significance. but we have every reason to feel fully confident and fully secure in rejecting what the Torah filter tells us should be filtered out, and what the Torah lens exposes for being inauthentic and wrong. And that's part of the Yashavta Be'eretz Goshen.